So this morning, we are going to speak with our missionaries in Nicaragua, the Rogers. And so let's go ahead and can we pull them up on Skype? Go ahead and Skype them, get them coming in. They are doing a work, and they're doing a wonderful work in Nicaragua. They're a lot going. There we go. Listen, can we hear them? Hey, guys, can you hear me?
Yes, sir.
Nice.
Can you hear us okay?
Oh, yeah, dude. I can hear you. How are you doing, young lady?
Good.
Nikki? Yeah. So, listen, that's okay. We can hear you guys?
Okay. Yeah, probably might be delayed a little bit.
Well, dude, if you got a good computer, do we need to raise money for that or what?
If you could raise money for the entire internet program in Nicaragua, that'd be great.
That's not going to happen. So, listen, I hear you guys are looking to expand your household.
Yeah. Apparently, we're going to
I'm already expanding. Yeah,
apparently, she's got plans for another one right after this one comes out.
After this one comes out. There we go. Well, you know, it was funny. I was talking to Jaron yesterday, and he said, my wife's been keeping me really busy. And then he tells me they're expecting their fifth child. And so, okay, I'm kidding, not five. So what's going on over there, guys?
Hey, man, we're actually just playing hooky right now from church so we can talk to you guys.
Nice.
Hey, we thought it'd be a good opportunity kind of to talk with y'all, but mostly we just want to encourage you, and so I wanted to kind of go, you know, you guys have been super faithful to us throughout our ministry here, and you know, even the first time we came, I remember you guys were in the other building, you know, a lot smaller than all the people sitting there today, so some of you probably don't even know me. But even not knowing me, it makes it even more special that y'all have been faithful to us as missionaries. And we want you to be encouraged. We think you should be encouraged by some of the things that God is doing here. And first of all, you know, kind of what we want to let you guys know is, first of all, in our ministry here, is that you have invested in us personally. God has grown us in our time here. The first 8 months that we were here were, I'm not going to lie, it was super difficult. It's probably one of the hardest things we've gone through in life. But God really used that to teach us that before we could plan a ministry, before we could start a ministry, he needed us to grow. And as he grew us, then he was able to use us.
Amen.
And so when you guys have given to missions, I want you to make sure and remember that you're not – I mean, you're paying for the missionary's grocery bill. You're making it possible for them to be on the field. So,
thank you.
Yeah, thanks. So you invested in us personally, and it means a lot. And then also, not only that, but we want you guys to know that God is using us. Now that he's grown us, and I'm not saying that we've arrived, but now that he's grown us, he's still growing us, but he's also using us. He's given us the ministry that we're to fulfill. It's been a slow process. And I think Brother John knows that pretty well. It's been a slow process. We, you know, I think the last time we talked to you guys, it was a long time ago.
Slacker.
Yeah. Not the first time we called that. But we started out with home Bible studies. And we were just trying, we did an evangelistic outreach. We did a movie event in the park. We had a missions team help us with it. That was our very first evangelistic outreach. Not very many people showed up, but we, with the people that did show up, we started going to their houses and doing home Bible studies with all that were interested. Most of those didn't pan out. Some of them were like, don't ever come back here again. But you know, through that, God let us meet a few people, and we were able to start home Bible studies. And it's gone from that to now we have an office building that we rent. We've renovated it. We're doing more renovations so we can have more room coming up this week. We've had Sunday morning meetings, you know, every week. We've done youth meetings every other week, men's meetings, ladies' meetings. So now it's crazy the amount of ministry that now God has given us and how he's expanded our scope so that we're able to reach more people. When we first started out, we were doing, you know, in that office building, we would invite people. We're like, we're going to have a Bible study. But it was kind of like, unless you went to them, they weren't really interested at first. And so there were times where Nikki and I and Alex and Marjorie and our kids, we were sitting there. They're the couple that we work with. And we were sitting there and nobody showed up. So one of us was like, well, we'll stay here at the office. And the other couple was like, well, we're going to go out and try to visit and meet more people. So just in case anybody shows up, we're here. But then y'all go out and meet more people, to where now it's, you know, actually having church services and having a good amount of people come.
Amen.
And, you know, we've had several baptized. We've had, since then, we've had two evangelistic outreaches that were, you know, crazy, pretty crazy big. We did them in city parks. Showed movies. I did a family movie night, and each one I was able to present the gospel afterwards. And, you know, through the very first evangelistic outreach we did, there was a girl named Jenny. So back the very first video we did, a girl named Jenny didn't even see the video, but she saw us there and came up to us and gave us her information and said, you know, I'd like for you to visit me. A year and a half later, in October of last year, she finally got saved.
Amen.
We had been visiting her. We had been visiting her family. And since then, she is one of the first ones that's completed our 16-week discipleship study. She completed it. She got baptized. And now she's wondering, okay, what can I learn next? Do you have more discipleship studies? And we're like, yeah, we actually do. So it's been great. But with that has presented new opportunities for ministry. For example, in Jenny's life alone, I mean, the father of her child left her for another man. She's got crazy amounts of baggage. None of her family is saved. All of her family is Catholic in name. They don't go to church or anything. But they're a little hardened to the gospel. So it's all this opportunities for discipleship in her life, for ministry to her family, for presenting the gospel to her family. And it's been a really great experience. And she's just one of the stories. And the last thing that is that we believe, and we also want you guys to know today that God has big plans for our future ministry.
Amen.
We're team missionaries now, so we're associate missionaries. We work under a host missionary, which is my parents. And in May, we're going to be approved as career missionaries. So in April, we're coming off the field. And we're going to have to travel around a little bit more, do a little bit more fundraising, and then also visit a lot of churches that have supported us. And we believe that when we come back, there's going to be even more ministry opportunities for us here. There's already two different towns that we're praying about that don't have a gospel ministry, not a faithful gospel ministry, and we'd love to see work started there. There's several ideas we have for ministry and outreach that we'd love to see be able to fulfill. And so that's kind of the deal. Is we're getting approved in May. We're going to be traveling, you know, and even with traveling, there'll be new opportunities for ministry for us to encourage missions and that sort of thing in churches. But so really that's what we want you guys to know. We want you to be encouraged. The end is not in sight. So we're not done yet.
I don't mean to cut you off. I'm going to cut you off. So what? Well, you can't see. Yeah, you can see. I could have just waved my hand and said, "Hey, shh," couldn't I?
Yes.
Yeah. So listen, what is your biggest challenge over there right now to present the gospel?
The biggest challenge we have is that everybody is somehow connected to some church.
Church.
Right.
So.
Wait a minute. I'm just going to interrupt. Nikki, I love how you look at your husband with these sparkling eyes. Doesn't she? She's like, man, I love my man. That's what she says. I just want to say that, by the way. I love your smile. All right, go ahead and continue on with church.
Whatever I want to say, right?
Yeah.
No, the biggest hindrance we've had is that when we go up and start talking to somebody about the gospel, I mean, and they can be drunk as a goose. They could be engaged in sin, right, like on the street corner, and we know it. And we go up to present the gospel to them, and all of a sudden they change to this spiritual person. So they're like, oh yeah, you know, I go to this church over here, or or they try to say some Bible verse to me. And literally every minivan driver or every public transportation driver here has some sort of Bible verse printed on the back of his vehicle. And what it is it's just prosperity gospel is so huge here. And it's hard to present the gospel to somebody like that because, our toddler's waking up finally. I don't know how she slept this long, but anyway, so that would be our biggest deal. You go up to talk to somebody, you try to present them the gospel, and it's so difficult for them to see their need for the gospel because they see themselves as a religious person. That's all you're going to present to them is just more religion.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. Listen, so here's another question for you. First off, what is your need right now?
The biggest need we have right now is we have an upcoming event, not this week, but next week. I have a friend of mine that's a really good friend. He's a Christian illusionist, and he travels to youth camps. He's open for like major Christian artists, some of the most popular ones. He's open for them in their shows, and he's coming down here. We have 3 weeks left before we leave. We have a missions team coming in, and he's coming down to do a show for us. We're going to go into two high schools in our town, probably 1,500 at least students that we're going to be able to talk to, and in the morning and afternoon. There's different classes in the morning and in the afternoon. So two different schools, four different student bodies. And we're going to put on a show for them on Monday and Tuesday, not tomorrow, but the next week. And then on Wednesday, we're going to do a citywide evangelistic outreach where he's going to do a show. And then I'm going to use the illusion and deception to kind of lead into the illusion and deception of a lot of the things that are in Tequantepe, like drug abuse, alcohol abuse, false religion, that sort of thing, and present the gospel to them. So what we need is several pastors have given us about $1,500 to be able to do this event, and we still need about 1,000 more. That is our biggest, in order to realize this event in the way that we want to, that's what we need. We have to rent some more sound equipment. We have to print out a bunch of promotional materials.
Okay, all that stuff you got to do. It don't matter to me. All right, so you need listen, that's your headache over there. My problem is, can we get you $1,000, right? That's the question here. So the church has $500 for you that we're absolutely going to send. We need 500 more. So guys, how many here can give $100 toward this ministry this week? So I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Okay, so right there, dude, you have $1,300 just like that. The check will be in the mail this week. Amen?
Amen.
Dude, we're just going to hook you up, baby. We're here to help you. That's what we want to do is we want to be a part of what you have going on and know that we are making a difference where you are to get the gospel out. Because believe me, I understand what it is to struggle and have to get ministry done depending on so many other people. We want to make it easy on you. Amen.
Amen.
All right. So you got 1,300 coming, and if any more comes in and has your name, by the way, if you're giving, you put Rogers in the memo, and now every dime goes to them. We as Connecting Point Church never withholds not one penny. Uh-oh, I lost them. All right. Go ahead, put her. Oh, dude, hold her up. There you go. Look at that. Oh, my goodness. I have just completely lost my church. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Well, she's got terrible morning breath right now.
Well, here's you, but listen, the last time we talked to you, she pooped herself, and now she has terrible morning breath. Why is it every time you hold your daughter up, you tell us how bad she stinks?
Yeah, well, I think I prefer the morning breath for sure.
Because, the last time, though, you sent Nikki out to change her, so there was a positive, yeah. Right?
That's how you do it, man.
That's right. So, Nikki, share with us a blessing that's going on with you or something that you have going on that's just a blessing in the ministry or a work that you have going on?
Oh, man.
Or are you just really just supporting your husband and everything he does, which is awesome. That's not a just.
I just had to like thinking about which one. I'd say one thing I've been able to do is I've been really active in trying to help the music situation down here. So
wait a minute. Hey, what's that, Jaren?
The music situation. That's just a funny way to say it.
Well, it's funny because we actually had a music situation here this morning.
Okay.
Okay. It's kind of, this culture in general just is really not a musical culture. I was trying to get helpful hints of, like, how do I help these people from my uncle who's in Southern gospel music. And he was like, well, ask them, you know, what do they sing their kids? Or I'm like, they don't sing lullabies. They don't sing these people. They don't ever, they just yell. And so I've been trying to like help them learn about music. I've been introducing a lot of songs, probably a lot of songs that you guys sing. We've been sort of integrating. We find them in Spanish. And then I have had a Saturday class where I tried to help teach some of the leaders of the churches here the new songs, and then not just new songs, but how to sing them and how to stay on tune. So it's been encouraging because when we first started, I was like, what? I don't even know. I mean, they weren't singing, they were just yelling, and it was chaos, and I was like, I don't know how to do this. And by the last time we had a class, the ladies were singing a harmony part, and the guys were actually staying on key, which was a miracle.
Most of them.
Most of them. But, I mean, just to see, like, the change, so that's been a huge blessing to see that I've actually been able to have some sort of effect on some of the music. So now it's just a matter of like having them actually integrate that into their churches. But that's been a blessing to watch because they really wanted to learn. It's been something they desire. So
fantastic.
That's just one.
All right. So because of time's sake, I'm going to have to shut you guys down. But let me say this. I actually want one funny. You don't have time for two, Jaren.
All right.
one funny thing that has happened that we can say goodbye to.
So one of my favorite stories is I was out, we were inviting for the evangelistic event, one of the movie nights in the park that we did, and all the rest of the group had gone ahead and I was stuck behind. And so I was passing out flyers by myself, talking to guys, and I saw this guy who was obviously drunk coming out of this bar, and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna go in there and invite these guys. And so I walked up, and this guy, I started talking to him, and he's standing right in the middle of the road. He's drunk, and he's just, literally just walking in the middle of the road. So I'm standing there talking to him, and I go, I'm inviting him and stuff, and he goes, and there's a car coming. So all of a sudden, I grab his shoulder and, like, yank him out of the way, and he looks at me, like, all mad, and he's kind of wobbling back and forth, and he looks at the car, and he goes, don't worry, when you're with me, nobody's going to do anything to you. Alright. So then I was like, alright, well, I was actually trying to save your life, but if you want to think you should save mine, that's cool.
That is funny.
So, I'm trying to like invite him, and he goes, listen, I'm gonna be completely honest with you. I'm really drunk right now and I'm having a hard time paying attention. And he's like, just write your phone number down. So I wrote my phone number down, and then I said, well, I need to go get a pen, actually. So I was like, I'm gonna go in here real quick, and I'm gonna give them some, and I'll borrow a pen, and I'll write my number down for you. And he looks at me, because I was told him I was gonna go in the bar and invite all these guys. And he looks at me and he goes, you're not going in there. And I was like, yeah, I'll just go in there real quick. He's like, you don't belong in there. He's like, here, give me the flyers, I'll go pass them out. So I got drunk as a skunk, and he's got all my flyers, and he's out helping me invite people to this event. So he gives them all out in there, and I see him in there, and mouth's like, here. And I take it. So he's flying, he comes out with a pen, and I write my phone number down, and we went our separate ways. But it was hilarious. You have to use every tool that God gives you, even if it's a drunk guy.
Amen. Amen. Well, hey, you guys are awesome. And listen, we have 1,300, maybe more, we're going to send out to you this week. And thank you guys for just being dedicated and serving where we can't. So God bless you guys. Give the Rogers a hand for talking to us. Hey, we love you, and we look forward. By the way, they're going to visit us when they come back to the States.
Yes.
And so so we'll get to see them, and Nikki can come and sing as well. We will give you the opportunity to bless us.
Okay.
I will too if you want.
Well, I didn't. I wasn't going there, but we'll pray about that one.
Okay.
Hey, we love you guys, and we'll talk to you again.
See ya.
All right.
Bye.
Say bye-bye.
Bye. Put her up there so there we go. We can see her. Say bye.
Say adios.
Adios.
Adios. Oh, my goodness. That's so funny. So if you want to be a part of their ministry, by the way, they are a fantastic couple. And, you know, they've just given their life to God and their servant. And so we praise Jesus for people like that. For those of you who said, I can help them with that bill, God bless you. When the offering plate goes around, you can put it in there if you're doing a check. If you guys are doing, if you want to do it online, you can go online after service. Go on our website. It says donate. Click on that. And then in the memo, you have to put Rogers, because if you don't put Rogers, it won't go to them. We, you know, obviously, if you don't designate it, we won't know where it's supposed to go. So you do it online, do it in the offering plate, and just make sure it's memoed so that they get it. If you write one check, some of you write one check for everything. Listen, on the bottom with your tithes and offerings, and then at the bottom, if you make it out for theirs, you just put the amount and then Rogers. Okay. All right. So now I went way over with the missionaries, like I said I wouldn't do. And so open your Bibles to the Book of Romans. We're going to get in this and get started. If you, how many have the handout sheet to fill out? This is going to be one of the fastest sermons you've ever heard me preach. Somebody say amen. Amen. All right. So if that means if I get you to lunch by 1:30, we hit a home run. Amen. Some of you didn't like the 1:30. Okay. Listen, here's what we're talking about is the spirit of a missionary. You know, guys, we talk to our missionaries, and we're talking about missionaries going out and the things that they're doing. And as we look at this, you got to understand there is a spirit to the missionary. The missionary is not in and of themselves. They realize and recognize that they are called of God, and they're doing a service for God, and God empowers them to make that happen. And so in Romans chapter 1, which is where we are at, Romans chapter 1, and we're in verse 8. Now, my goal is to get from 8 to 15. I cannot allow this sermon to go 3 weeks, so it has to happen today. So hold on, buckle up, we're going for a ride. So the spirit of a missionary, the first one that we see is number in verse 8, in 1:8, he says, first, Paul says, listen, the first thing is, I thank my God through Jesus Christ. And so the first spirit that we see is a thankful spirit, because he said, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world. And so the first fill-in is a thankful spirit. And so maybe Paul was saying, listen, I'm going to thank God first, because if I thank you, Romans, your head's going to swell. I know that doesn't happen to anybody in here when they get complimented, but he says, your head might swell. I don't want to take that chance. I want you to truly see who I'm thanking and who is responsible for this whole mission trip. And so he says, first, I want to thank my God through Jesus Christ. He is establishing. Guys, I'm going to tell you, when we talk about religion, and the missionary talked about religion, and he says, I want to thank my God through Jesus Christ. There is no other way to heaven. There is no other way to the Father. There is no other religion or God or anything else that is going to make the difference except for Jesus Christ. In John 14:6, Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. And so Jesus, or Paul, is establishing who Jesus Christ is. He says, listen, I want you to know there is no other way except through me. And so some of you say, well, hey, you know what? Man, I'm a good person. Really good lined up with who? You know, good according to whose thoughts or whose process. And by the way, how good is good enough? Like when you say, hey, if I asked you when you die, are you going to heaven? And you go, yeah. And I say, why? And you go, well, I'm a good person. Well, what makes you good? And you go, well, I haven't murdered anyone. You know, that's the litmus test. But the truth is, the truth is, all of us have murdered someone. We're all murderers. We murdered Jesus Christ. And you go, no, I didn't. That happened 2,000 years ago, and I don't look that old. Well, you're right. But he died for your sins, and he died for my sins, and he died for the sins of the entire world. And so for him to die for our sins, it's because of us that he had to die. That makes us murderers, guys. We weren't there to physically drive the nail. But had we been there, we would have been, because it was our sins that drove the nails. And so Jesus says, listen, it is through me. Paul says, I'm being thankful because of Jesus Christ. And then look here in 1 Timothy 2:5. See, Paul has this right with a thankful spirit. In 1 Timothy 2:5, he says, for there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so Paul's establishing this. He says, listen, I am thanking God, and I'm thanking him through Jesus Christ, because there is nobody else that can take my words to the Father except for him. Nobody else. And so, you know, I know some people pray to saints, or they'll pray to other little g gods, or they pray to various people. And I'm going to tell you right now, Jesus says right here, the Bible says that there is no one, there is one God, one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. And so when Paul gives thanks, he's making it very clear that the only one that's going to hear his prayer is Jesus Christ, because only Jesus can take his prayer to the Father. And so, guys, if you're praying to anybody other than Jesus Christ, you might as well pray to that wall or to one of these empty boxes, because it's not going anywhere. Now, I'm not trying to offend you. I'm not trying to offend anyone. What I'm trying to do is show you what the Word of God says. And the Word of God says that Jesus is the only one that is the mediator between us and the Father. And so if you pray to anybody else, it's just clanging cymbals. It's of no good and no use. And so Paul recognized this, and he had a thankful spirit, and he thanked God. And then Hebrews 4:16 says, let us therefore come boldly. Listen, we know we have a mediator between us and the Father, that being Jesus Christ. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Listen, don't come skittish. Don't think you got to back up. You got problems? How many here have problems? Amen. I'm thinking problems are running rampant nowadays. Everybody seems to have problems. Well, listen, if you are not taking it boldly before the throne, before Jesus Christ, your problems are never going to go away, because you're trying to do it in your own strength, which just compounds more problems. And so the Bible says here, let us therefore come boldly, boldly. I know some people go, well, I just can't pray for myself. I can't ask things for myself. Listen, the Bible says that you have not because you ask not. If you want it, you ask for it. But listen, ask for what you know will line up for the Word of God and the will of God, not for yourself. This isn't a selfish thing. You're saying, you know what, Lord, I'm struggling here. So, Lord, I need your hand on me. Lord, I need help. Lord, I need you to touch me. Lord, I need you to guide me. I need you to direct me. Lord, I need you to give me wisdom. Lord, you know what? I got a financial problem, and I need you to help me deliver this, or at least give me wisdom to walk through this. Lord, give me the strength to bear under the pressures of life. Lord, whatever it is, and you got to go boldly to the throne. And now understand this, it may not happen tomorrow if you ask for it today. It's God's time. And here's what we got to remember, sometimes we forget. God has got to move things in place to answer our prayers. Because if God's going to answer our prayers, God generally always uses people to answer our prayers. And so he's got to move them around so that it benefits them and it benefits us. God never wastes movement. And so, listen, Paul says, I am thankful. He has a thankful spirit. And he says, I can go to the Father boldly. Look in Romans 8:15 says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Paul says, I am thanking my God through Jesus Christ because, listen, he is Abba, Father. I have been adopted. You know, God said, I love you so much that I want to bring you into my family. And what happens here is Paul has recognized that, and he has a thankful spirit about him. MacArthur says this, and when I read it, it just resonated within me. Paul says, or MacArthur says, superficial believers are seldom satisfied and therefore seldom thankful because they focus on their own appetites for the things of the world. They are more often resentful than thankful. A thankless heart is a selfish, self-centered, legalistic heart. Paul had a thankful heart because he continually focused on what God was doing in his own life, in the lives of other faithful believers, and in the advancement of his, being God's kingdom, throughout the world. And I found it interesting that most people don't give thanks because they're so consumed with themselves. Very interesting when you look at that. If I'm not getting what I want, then I'm not going to be thankful. And Paul says, man, I'm just thanking you, God, that I can finally go to Rome and make a difference. And so he's being very thankful. The second thing is a concerned spirit. And I'm just going to tell you, if I don't speed up, we're never going to get through. A concerned spirit. Look here in 1, 9, and 10. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I make mention of you always in my prayers. He says, listen, I pray for you all the time because I love you and I'm concerned for you. I have this desire for you. And we go, well, what's the desire, Paul? And so with the concerned spirit, he says, listen, God is my witness, because the truth is the people really didn't know him. But they know God because they started the church. We find that coming out of the book of Acts, where those who from Rome came, got saved at the day of Pentecost. They went to Rome. They went back to their homeland and started a church. They don't know Paul. So Paul says, listen, God is my witness. And then he says, I care so much for you that I pray for you without ceasing. And that takes us to the next one, which is a willing and submissive spirit. A willing and submissive spirit. In 110b, which is the second half, you won't find a chapter 1 verse 10a and b. What that is just helps us to tell you a is the first half of the verse, b is the second half of the verse. Okay, so if you're looking at it and you're nudging your neighbor going, I don't have a 1b, what is that? It's just the second half of the verse. And he says here, listen, now at last I may find a way in the will of God to come to you. Paul says, listen, I am willing to go. I'm willing to do whatever it takes, God. And you know what? I'm submitting to your authority, your timetable, your desire, your direction. And what he says is, listen, I am desiring to come to you, but I will not do it out of selfishness. I will not do it from my own drive. It's when God makes it happen. You know, some of us sitting here today, what do? We go, oh, I want to do this, and God's calling me. And God may be calling you, but you're pushing things. And God says, I need you to slow down, and I need you to wait, because everything is not in place yet. And if you jump ahead of me, you're going to be discouraged. And listen, you're going to struggle, and you're going to have issues. And next thing you know, I'm going to have to bring you back, and you're going to be wounded and brokenhearted, thinking that I didn't care or that I wasn't in it. When the reality is you wouldn't be patient and you wouldn't wait on me. And so Paul is saying, listen, I'm willing, and God, I'm submitted to you, but I'm going to wait and do it according to your will and not mine. How many times do we see Paul have a desire to go and do and go and do and go and do, and then every time he wanted to go to Rome, God sent him somewhere else? You know, and it's like, man, really? And God goes, just go. And Paul says, all right, I'm going. But now when the time's right, can you imagine the impact that's going to happen? So many people today do not have a willing spirit or submissive spirit. And what happens is they become very quick to criticize. I remember when God called me to sell all I had, our business and home and everything, and go to college at 35 years old. I had so many people going, "Are you crazy? You have two daughters. You need to be thinking of retirement. Listen, selling your business and running off to serve God is not the thing you need to be doing." And they were Christians. And I go, "But man, God's called. What are you going to do when God calls?" You know, and then so many are not willing to go, but they'll give. So praise God for those who give. But if God's called you to go, you need to go. I read in the book of The Gospel Blimp, that's the name of the book, and it was put out in 1983 by David Cook. And it says here, Joe Bailey tells the imagined story of a man who hired a blimp to bombard his neighborhood with gospel tracts. The point of the book and the popular movie made from it was that some believers will go to great extremes to avoid personally confronting others with the gospel. And then there was another story in it. A man once suggested that the church provide $25,000 to create a sophisticated telephone answering service that would give a gospel message to callers. This man wanted to use his scheme primarily to reach an unbelieving neighbor. It was suggested to him, "Why don't you just go over and tell him the gospel yourself?" He wanted to, true story, he wanted to spend $25,000 to create an elaborate system that would call him up and share with him what he could have done by walking across the street and not wasted any of God's money. But Paul says, listen, I am willing and I am submissive to the will of God. And I wrote here, I don't think I put it on your notes. It is said the true measure of our concern for God's work is our willingness for God to use us. How many of us say, "I love God, I love Jesus," but when he asks you to do something, you go, "Uh-uh, not me." Do you really love God? See, because you are going to be obedient according to your relationship. You're not going to submit, you're not going to be willing if you don't have a relationship with the Father. The next one that fill in the blank is a loving spirit. If you look here in 1:11, Paul says, "For I long to see you that I may impart to you some spiritual gifts so that you may be established." He says, listen, I long to see you. Paul's ministry, his ministry goal was to present every man complete in Christ. We see that in Colossians 1:28 and 29. He says, "Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus." And then in 29, "To this end I also labor, striving according to his working, which works in me mightily." Listen, I'm going to tell you, Paul says, "I have a loving spirit, and my goal is to raise you up." You know, this whole year, I've told you, my vision for Connecting Point Church this year is spiritual maturity, and it is to raise you up. It is to bring you to a place of maturity so that what? When the wind comes and the storm comes and it just seems to keep hitting you and hitting you and hitting you and hitting you, that you'll stand. And that's what Paul does. Listen. Paul says here in the latter half of 1:11, look here. He says, "For I long to see you that I may impart to you some," what? "Spiritual gift." Why is it spiritual? Because listen, if it's in the flesh, it only lasts for a certain length of time. It's kind of like if I said, "Dude, listen, I know it's your pen, but I'm going to give it back." If I said, "Listen, I'm going to give you an ink pen. This is my gift to you. Take, it's yours." And he uses it. It's only a matter of time before it runs out of ink and it's no good. Amen? Paul says, "I'm going to give you a spiritual gift. I'm going to give you something that goes within you, becomes a part of you, never leaves you. It empowers you. It equips you. It helps you to stay grounded and firm, as so when the storms of life come and they start hitting you and you know it's going to, you won't move." Why? Because you will be established. And I've explained established like this. How many have ever pulled weeds? By the way, this is my daughter's favorite pastime, both of them, is to pull weeds. And as soon as I say pull weeds, they turn into different people. And it's more of a serpent than the angel. But at any rate, when we pull a weed, how many have pulled a weed and you start pulling it here and you end up down here because as you're pulling it, it just keeps going, right? And you're like, really? And so then you wrap it around your hand or you might throw it around your waist and you start pulling it like this, right? You're trying to get it. That doesn't work. So you tie it onto the hitch of a truck and you use the truck to pull it and that doesn't work. It pulls the bumper off and then finally you get tired and you go, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to dig around it. I'm going to take an axe. I'm going to cut it off and then I'm going to bury it. Right? How many have been there? Okay. That's what that word established literally means, is to be so anchored in that you cannot be uprooted. And Paul says, I want to give you a spiritual gift to where I establish you. Guys, I'm going to tell you, we need to be established. I'm going to tell you, because you know what? We are but mere humans. And I don't care how big you are, how big you think you are, how protected you think you are. How many ever seen the movie Titanic or you've heard of the Titanic? And it was so interesting because the man that built the Titanic made this one statement. Not even God can sink that boat. Newsflash. God sunk it. So at any rate, I really think that that's why it went down, because he was so arrogant as to say, not even God can sink this ship. God sunk it. I believe he did. God is not a God that'll be mocked. And my whole point is, listen, we're not even as big as that ship. We can be sunk. And Paul says, I want to give you something that's going to establish you so that no matter what comes in your life, you are rooted and you are grounded and you, listen, it doesn't mean we're not going to go through the storm, but what it means is as we go through the storm, we know who has a hold of us and we're at peace with that. Because, guys, we go through storms. But Paul, in verse 11, he had a loving spirit. My question for you is, he loved them so much he wanted to establish them. Here's my question for you. Who are you establishing? Who are you investing in? Who are you desirous to see so you can share the gospel with, so they can get saved, so that they won't die and go to hell? Who are you establishing? Who are you establishing because you know the storm of life is coming through and you don't want to see them go down in the storm? Who are you establishing? Man, Paul, listen, he had a loving spirit and he was establishing. And then in 1:12, it was a humble spirit. A humble spirit. Paul never thought that he was above being spiritually edified by others. Look here in 1:12. That is, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith, both of you and me. Listen, Paul was incredibly educated. Gamaliel was his teacher. Paul knew more than five languages he could speak. He was a Hebrew of Hebrews. He was circumcised on the eighth day. Listen, Paul was the man. God touched him on the road to Damascus. Paul even made it very clear. He says, listen, man didn't teach me. For 3 years I went off and God taught me. Paul was the man. I think if anybody had room to be arrogant, it would be Paul. Listen, he was shipwrecked how many times? He was bitten by a serpent and then healed up. When he went in, he was beat, and they thought that he was stoned to death. They threw him on the garbage pile, and then the other apostles came through, and they were like, yo, Paul, dude, get up, man. What are you doing laying down there? And he helps them up. And here, Paul, after being stoned to death, they pick him up, and he walks on with them. The Spirit of God was on him. He knew he was empowered by God. He knew God's hand was on him. And yet he says, listen, you can teach me. And he was humble. Guys, I'm going to tell you, we need to have a humble spirit. When he was about, not Paul, but the missionary, when he was about to board a ship to India to begin missionary service there, William Carey, some of his friends, asked if he really wanted to go through with his plans. Expressing his great desire for their support and prayer, he said to have replied, I will go down into the pit itself if you will hold the rope. I'm telling you, he was humble. And he had no problem reaching out to others and helping others and calling on others. He was humble. Guys, you can't win this battle on your own. Some of you are trying, and you're getting run over. Listen, I was talking to somebody last week, and I said, you got to get into the Word of God. You got to read the God, Word of God. You got to pray to God. Listen, you got to get rooted back into God. Satan wants you to get off by yourself. He wants you to become a recluse. Why? Because I'm going to tell you, when you're by yourself, you can get wounded real easy. You can get consumed real easy. And you know, you think about this, guys. How many have ever watched History Channel or National Geographic, and you've seen the lions out there, right? And they're like this. They're looking around for something or someone to devour, right? That's what Satan's doing, according to 1 Peter 5:8. And so what does a lion attack? He attacks those who are by themselves or who are weak. You guys, we can't be separate. We can't be on our own, because you will go down. You will go down. You are not strong enough to sustain yourself. And Paul recognized this, and he says, man, you can teach me, and I can teach you, and I am so excited to get to that point. Guys, we got to work together. You know, people think that, oh, Christians go to church because it's a crutch and they're weak. Yes, I'm weak. And I need Jesus. And I need each and every one of you. This isn't a thing of being weak. You know, you look at a football team, and anybody who watches football? Listen, there's some big boys out there, aren't there? I mean, real big boys. And what do? They come together as a team, and they come together to practice, and they come together to work together, and they build friendships, and they build relationships. Why? So that they can win games. They have to come together to win. Now, me by myself, this whole crew here, you could easily run me over. Easily run me over. Dave, I need you to come up here. Larry, I need you to come up here. Greg, I need you to come up here. It is Greg, right? Yeah, come on up here, Greg. Not you, Dave. You're too old. You sit down. Big Dave over here. Brian, I need you to come up here. No, no, just stand right up here. Just stand right there. Just stand right there. Turn around. Stand right there. Brian, get on up here. Cooley, come on up here. Alan, come on up here. Just stand in a row right here. Or Phil Allen, come up here. I call him Alan. My brother's name's Alan. Taylor. Come on up here, buddy. Come stand right here next to Greg. Yeah, now come on and get me. Huh? Now come and get me. You would think twice before you come after me now, wouldn't you? And that's what I'm talking about, guys. If I had this line right here, take a whole step forward. My goodness, look at what size shoe do you wear, dude? Holy cow, I could water ski with them. Listen, look at this lineup right here, right? Man, you know why? I'm not alone. I have somebody to help me and to keep me strong and to protect me. Guys, we need that. And Paul says, you can teach me and I can teach you, and we can come together and we can build one another up. We can protect one another. We can encourage one another. We can edify one another. Listen, we are here for each other. Wow, do I feel small standing right here. Do you see what I'm talking about? No, listen, I'm encouraged and I'm humbled because I have these men who say, I'll stand with you. And that's what Paul was saying. Thank you, guys. You can have a seat. That's what Paul's saying. Listen, a humble spirit. We're going to stand together. We're going to raise each other. We're going to edify one another. We're going to teach one another. We're going to make the difference with one another. Dave, I just need your wisdom back there. I didn't need your strength up here. God bless you. I didn't want Dave to sit down and go, well, 20 years ago, he'd have let me stand up there. I just need your wisdom, brother. No offense. And so Paul was humble, and guys, we need to be humble. The next point is a fruitful spirit. And I've only got, be encouraged, I'm almost done. a fruitful, and by the way, it just blame the missionaries for keeping us late. A fruitful spirit. Look here in 1:13, Romans 1:13. Now, I do not want you to be unaware, brethren, that I often planned to come to you, but was hindered until now, that I might have some fruit among you also, just as among the other Gentiles. Listen, Paul says, man, you guys got it going on, and I want to be a part of what you got going on. I want some of the fruit of that. Now, today we could equate it with stocks, right? Wow, man, Apple's got it going on. Let's invest in them. And then you get some fruit of what they've got going on. And that's what Paul's doing here. Paul says, listen, I want some fruit among you. If you look here in Philippians 2:16, he says this, and after he's encouraged and told the church of Philippi, those Christians there, he's built them up. He's told them what they need to do. And then he says this, holding fast the word of life, the word of God, toward the lost world, so that I may rejoice in the day of Christ. And look what he says, that I have not run in vain or labored in vain. Paul says, I want to know that what I have done has produced fruit and just was not a waste of time. And guys, I'm telling you, nobody here wants to just invest a whole bunch of time into nothing. You want it to mean something. You want it to count for something. And Paul is no different. And he says, listen, I want some of that fruit. Why? Because I want God to look at me and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Man, you hung in there when nobody else would. You made the difference. You went after what was right. You went after what was going to benefit me. And by the way, God deserves to be benefited. And so Paul says that, the missionary has a fruitful spirit. And all he wanted to do was lead others to Christ and help them grow in the Lord. Guys, we need to invest. I'm going to tell you, you know, as a pastor, one of the most edifying things for me is when I'm able to invest in men and women and make a difference in their life where they've been solidified, and then they go out and they win people to Jesus, or they disciple and they win. Listen, I get some of that fruit, and there is nothing, no greater joy for a pastor or a teacher or anybody that invests in somebody's life and you watch them go out and reproduce that in somebody else. Guys, I take great joy in that. I'd hate to think that I have been here for almost 9 years and not won anybody or not discipled anybody and had no fruit of my work. Paul says, man, I want some of this fruit. I want in on some of this action. The next thing is, and be encouraged, we're down to the last two, an obedient spirit. Now, I'm not going to beat this one into the ground. You guys clearly understand. Look here in 1:14. I am a debtor both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to wise and to unwise. Now, Paul's not, he's not, there's not four groups here. It's two groups. He says the Greeks and the barbarians, and while the Greeks were the wise and the barbarians were the unwise. And he says, I am a debtor. God has called me. God has saved me. God has educated me. God has put me in a position to reach all of humanity for his glory. And he says, that is a debt that I owe God to reach everybody. And Paul went after people. Listen, Paul, man, he was short in stature. They say he was about 5'6", roughly, just a skinny little guy. And no offense to anybody that's 5'6", and a skinny little guy. But listen, to look at his stature, Paul was nothing. It wasn't like that lineup of men that I had up here, these giants that were standing up here in front of me. He's just a little guy, but nobody could slow him down. Nobody. And he said, I am a debtor to all of society, and I am going to be obedient. In 1 Corinthians 9:16-17, he says this. For if I preach the gospel, I have nothing to boast of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yes, woe is me if I do not preach the gospel. For if I do this willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, I have been entrusted with a stewardship. He said, if I do this willingly, if I share the gospel willingly, guess what? God's going to reward me for this. I have a reward coming, and I'm going to be blessed by my efforts, no question. But if I do it unwillingly, or I'm not obedient and I don't want to do it, but I still, you know, or I don't do it because of the reward, but I do it anyway. Listen, I have been entrusted. I am a steward. God says, because you're saved, how many here are born again, a child of God? Jesus Christ is your Savior. How many are that? Okay. Listen, you are a steward that has been entrusted with the Word of God. And listen, not just the Word of God, but everybody's life that you come in contact with. Now stop and think about that for a minute. You have been entrusted with every life that comes in, that you come in contact with, to share truth with. God says you are a steward, you are a manager, and I am entrusting you to do the work that I have saved you to do. And that's what Paul's doing. Man, Paul says, I'm going to be obedient. And then listen, whether I do it for the reward or I do it out of obedience, I am going to be obedient because I understand what God has given me to do and the importance to do it. Then the last one in 115, an eager spirit. 115, so as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you who are in Rome also. And we read in Acts chapter 20 where Paul, it says here, and see, now I go bound in the Spirit to Jerusalem, not knowing the things that will happen to me there. Next verse. Except that the Holy Spirit testifies in every city, saying that chains and tribulations await me. Paul says, listen, and he's eager to go. In our mind, we're going, Paul, you're crazy. But look here what he says. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I receive from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. Paul's saying very clearly that, you know what? Nothing's going to deter me. Nothing's going to change my mind. I already know that I'm going to get beat. I already know I'm going to be in prison. I already know that these things are going to happen, but I am not changing course because I am eager to do what God has called me to do. And what makes Paul able to do that? Are you ready? He has a relationship with his Father God. Man, when that relationship is there and that love is there and that respect's there, you're going to do whatever you can to please them. We do it on earth all the time, don't we? Somebody that we love and respect, man, we're right in there. We're going to do whatever. Well, Paul feels no different toward God than what we do toward somebody we love. In his spirit, he's compelled to go because that's God's will for him. In 2024, we already read that. And then in Philippians 1:21, Paul says to live is Christ and to die is gain. Isn't that what he says? To live is Christ and to die is gain. And in 2 Corinthians 5:8, he says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Here's his attitude. He's eager to go, and I'm finishing with this. And I appreciate your guys' patience sitting here for the visitors. God bless you. Here's what Paul said. He says, I'm eager to go. I'm eager to be a part of this. And no matter what happens to me, good, bad, or indifferent, what are you going to do? Send me home? What are you going to do? Promote me to my Father in heaven? And guys, I think we lose sight of that because we get so consumed with us that we forget God really does have our back. And we lose being eager because we're trusting in our own strength. Paul never made that mistake. He trusted in God. He was eager to serve God. He was eager to make the difference. And he said to live as Christ, that's victory. To die, that's gain. I'm not losing anything. And if I die, I'm going to be with the Lord. What he's really saying is, somebody show me where I'm going to lose here. Somebody show me a negative. Because he's not looking at himself. He's looking at the Lord and the difference he can make in everybody's life. Guys, when we reach that point, that's when we have the spirit of a missionary. And that's when we'll do the work of a missionary. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for today. And I thank you for the Roger, Jaron and Nikki Rogers, Lord, the time with them, Lord. I thank you for your word and the opportunity just to share your gospel, Lord. And Lord, I thank you for the patience of all sitting here as I have clearly went over the time clock. But Lord, you are so much more important than the clock. Lord, you're so much more important. And Lord, for many of us, this is the only time that they're actually going to spend with you. And Lord, I just pray that you take this time, that you take this message, you take your word, Lord, and you would break the heart of each and every one of us in this room. That we would serve you, Lord, and we would serve you with humility and eagerness, unselfish. Lord, that we would serve you with a desire to see you glorified and not us glorified. Lord, that we would never lose sight of that our efforts bring fruit that build and grow your kingdom, not ours. But yet, Lord, you allow us to be a part of that. Lord, thank you for that. Lord, thank you for loving us so much that you sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross for us and then giving us the opportunity to tell others about him. And Lord, if there's anybody here today that does not know Jesus as their Savior, Lord, I pray right now that you would just convict them, Lord, and that you would just break their heart so that they would take care of it right now. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you can change that this very moment. You can change it all right now. If you are unsure that if you were to die right now that you would go to heaven, you can change that this very moment and solidify your place with God in heaven through Jesus Christ. And you say, well, how do I do that? Every head bowed, every eye closed. For those of you who know Jesus Christ as your Savior, you be praying right now for those that don't. And for those that don't know Jesus, and you say, well, I'm not sure how I know that. The question is, if you were to die right now, do you know for sure that you would go to heaven? And if you say, well, I don't know for sure, then you're probably not. You need to take care of that. In your heart, you pray this prayer. First off, you have to believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for your sins, that he's the Savior of the world, that he conquered death and hell in the grave, and he's at the Father's right hand. You don't have to understand it all, but you got to believe that that's what happened. And then you pray this prayer, and the prayer is not what saves you. The prayer is just kind of a road map, if you will, to guide you through the process so that you have a time and a day when you remember specifically and on purpose giving your life to God. You pray this prayer quietly in your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, I am a sinner. I have done wrong. I have done things I should not have done. And Lord, right now I ask you to forgive me of all my sins. Lord, today I repent. And Lord, right now, I ask Jesus to be my Savior. Right now, I surrender all and give to him that I would have eternal life.